Let's read together Job chapter 41. In this chapter, God questions Job about the large creature of the sea, known as the Leviathan. Let's begin by reading the first 11 verses of Job 41. Can you draw out Leviathan with a hook, or snare his tongue with a line which you lower? Can you put a reed through his nose, or pierce his jaw with a hook? Will he make many supplications to you? Will he speak softly to you? Will he make a covenant with you? Will you take him as a servant forever? Will you play with him as with a bird? Or will you leash him for your maidens? Will your companions make a banquet of him? Will they apportion him among the merchants? Can you fill his skin with harpoons or his head with fishing spears? Lay your hand on him. Remember the battle. You will never do it again. Indeed, any hope of overcoming him is false. Shall one not be overwhelmed at the sight of him? No one is so fierce that he would dare stir him up. Who then is able to stand against me? Who has preceded me that I should pay him? Everything under heaven is mine. Let's begin our study of this chapter, Job 41, with some background notes. So what's a Leviathan? Is this a creature that exists today, or did it exist only in Job's day? Or is it just a mythological creature being used here as a symbol of evil that only God can control? Well, the detailed description here would seem to indicate that the Leviathan was a real creature of the sea. Various suggestions have been made for the Leviathan, the whale or the crocodile primarily. I don't think so. I'm persuaded that the Leviathan is now extinct. It was a large plesiosaur-like sea creature. Maybe it still exists today. Psalm 104, verse 26 says that God made the Leviathan to play or frolic in the sea. I'm reading from Psalm 104, beginning with verse 24. O Lord, how manifold are your works! In wisdom you have made them all. The earth is full of your possessions, this great and wide sea, in which are innumerable teeming things, living things both small and great. There the ships sail about. There is that Leviathan which you have made to play or frolic there. From Psalm 104, verses 24 through 26. So the Leviathan was a real large aquatic creature that men without guns could not catch or capture or kill or tame or train for doing work, as we see in verses 1 through 11 that we just read. I love verse 8, don't you? Lay your hand on him, that is the Leviathan. Remember the battle. You will never do it again. Maybe you will never do it again because you will be no more. Well, so much for background. Let's move now and proceed to our doctrinal point. In his second speech, God questions Job about the Leviathan. Let's continue reading the description of the Leviathan in verses 12 through 34. Job chapter 41, beginning now with verse 12. I will not conceal or keep silent about his limbs, his mighty power, or his graceful proportions. Who can remove his outer coat? Who can approach him with a double bridle? Who can open the doors of his face with his terrible teeth all around? His rows of scales are his pride, shut up tightly as with a seal. One is so near another that no air can come between them. They are joined one to another. They stick together and cannot be parted. His sneezings flash forth light, and his eyes are like the eyelids of the morning. Out of his mouth go burning lights. Sparks of fire shoot out. Smoke goes out of his nostrils as from a boiling pot and burning rushes. His breath kindles coals, and a flame goes out of his mouth. Strength dwells in his neck, and sorrow or despair dances before him. The folds of his flesh are joined together. They are firm on him and cannot be moved. His heart is as hard as stone, even as hard as the lower millstone. When he raises himself up, the mighty are afraid. Because of his crashings, they are beside themselves. Though the sword reaches him, it cannot avail, nor does spear, dart, or javelin. He regards iron as straw and bronze as rotten wood. The arrow cannot make him flee. Sling stones become like stubble to him. Darts are regarded as straw. He laughs at the threat of javelins. His undersides are like sharp potsherds. He spreads pointed marks in the mire. He makes the deep boil like a pot. He makes the sea like a pot of ointment. He leaves a shining wake behind him. Who would think the deep had white hair? On earth there is nothing like him, which is made without fear. He beholds every high thing. He is king over all the children of pride. The detailed description of this creature goes well beyond a whale or crocodile. Would you not agree? We don't speak of the neck of a whale, for example, verse 22. And a whale does not leave a trail on the beach looking like a threshing sledge had been drawn over it, verse 30. Now, some of the features described here could apply to the crocodile, such as his scales like tight armor and his jaws like giant doors on his face exposing frightening teeth, verses 13 through 17. But when a crocodile swims, it is not like the Leviathan here, who churns up the water like foam and leaves white caps in its wake, verses 30 and 31. And a crocodile does not look down on other creatures, verse 34. If anything, a crocodile looks up at other large creatures. So a good case can be made that the Leviathan was a large plesiosaur-like sea creature that is now probably extinct. Now, what about the fire-breathing aspect of the Leviathan described in verses 18 through 21? Let's read those verses once again. His sneezings flash forth light, and his eyes are like the eyelids of the morning. Out of his mouth go burning lights. Sparks of fire shoot out. Smoke goes out of his nostrils as from a boiling pot, and burning rushes. His breath kindles coals, and a flame goes out of his mouth. Now, is this just a description of the way the Leviathan sneezed and the way his breath appeared in the direct sunlight? Or is this a description of a real phenomenon? And is the true source of the stories of real fire-breathing dragons that have come down to us from many different cultures around the world? This may be so. But now, the larger question for us from this chapter is, why did the Lord choose to question Job about the Leviathan of all creatures? I think there are two primary reasons. The first reason, of course, is the reason of logic. Job, if you cannot challenge and control the Leviathan, one of God's creatures, do you think you can challenge and control the Creator and force God to answer your questions on your terms? And the second reason is that it would be hard not to be reminded of evil when considering this scary, sinister-looking creature. In fact, years later, Isaiah used the Leviathan as a symbol of evil. I'm reading Isaiah chapter 27, verse 1. In that day, the Lord with his severe sword, great and strong, will punish Leviathan, the fleeing serpent, Leviathan, that twisted serpent, and he will slay the reptile that is in the sea. From Isaiah chapter 27, verse 1. The Leviathan here in Isaiah 27, as well as the serpent and dragon, is used figuratively here as a symbol for Satan and his evil forces, which will be bound during the time of our Lord's earthly kingdom in that coming day. See Revelation 20 in this connection. The fact that Isaiah used the Leviathan in a figurative way does not mean that the Leviathan was not a real creature in the days of Job. So for these reasons, God used the Leviathan as Exhibit A in his confrontation with Job. In his second speech, God questions Job about the Leviathan. Now, just before we go to our practical application for this chapter, once again, let me read some excerpts about the Leviathan from the commentary on the book of Job entitled The Remarkable Record of Job by Henry Morris. Quote, the witness of the great beast Behemoth is brought into still sharper focus when God begins to speak of Leviathan. As the Behemoth was the greatest terrestrial animal, the Leviathan was the greatest aquatic animal. Like the Behemoth, it seems to be extinct, although reports continue to persist of great sea serpents and plesiosaur-like animals in oceans and deep lakes around the world. Most commentators, once again limiting their thinking to existing animals, insist on calling the Leviathan a crocodile. Once again, however, the awesome description in Job chapter 41 does not fit at all. Whatever the Leviathan may have been, it was not a crocodile. Neither was it a whale, as some have suggested, even though whales are the largest animals living today. And what about the following description? Quote, "By his kneesings a light doth shine, and his eyes are like the eyelids of the morning. Out of his mouth go burning lamps, and sparks of fire leap out. Out of his nostrils goeth smoke, as out of a seething pot or cauldron. His breath kindleth coals, and a flame goeth out of his mouth." From Job chapter 41, verses 18 through 21. This is surely not a crocodile. Dragons of various kinds were capable of breathing out fire, at least according to traditions from all parts of the world. That it is not a mythical creature is clearly asserted in the great psalm of God's providence, when the psalmist speaks of, quote, "that great and wide sea, in which there are things creeping innumerable." He also notes that there is that Leviathan, whom thou hast made to play therein, from Psalm 104, verses 25 and 26. The Leviathan was a real animal, presumably the largest and fiercest of all the aquatic dinosaurs. End of quote. Excerpts from the commentary on Job, entitled The Remarkable Record of Job by Henry Morris. Now that brings us to our practical application for Job chapter 41. Learn the Lord's Leviathan lesson. Learn the Lord's Leviathan lesson. The Lord's Leviathan lesson for Job, and for us as well, could be summed up in the words of Ephesians chapter 1, verse 11. God works all things after the counsel of his will. Ephesians 1, 11. Nothing is out of God's control. God chose the largest land creature and the largest sea creature to drive home the lesson that as creator, he had complete control of these creatures, and puny man had no clue on how to capture and control these powerful and seemingly independent animals. So let's not question God's ability to control situations which seem out of control. It doesn't matter whether these situations involve people or events or forces, even evil forces, as suggested in these terrifying creatures. Now, this lesson would have been comforting to Job when he was suffering, and should be comforting to us as well. Evil is not out of God's control. It may seem that it is out of control when we look around us at the world situation or even at the suffering of some believer who was once so productive for the Lord. Listen, the Lord is in control, and he knows what he is doing. The Lord's Leviathan lesson helps us to appreciate the fact that while we don't have all the answers, and we fall far short of understanding all of God's ways, we can rest assured that God is in complete control of everything, including evil, and God knows what he is doing. We are not to question God's ways because there is no need to question God's ways. So learn the Lord's Leviathan lesson.